You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Roto Experts in the Morning is on now.
It is Tuesday, December 6th, 2016, and this is the Roto Experts in the Morning. My name is Greg Sussman, joined as always by the King, Scott Angle, the fantasy executive Corey Parson, Tony Cincata as well. Taking you up until 10 a.m. Eastern Time, the fantasy best friends forever. And previewing week 14 because the regular season is over, baby! And now it is time for the playoffs. Good morning, Scotty.
Good morning. Just want to say congratulations to Tony Cincata for a great comeback in winning our division in the Greenwich Street Tavern League.
He won? That's crazy.
Yeah. And also what's even more crazy is I told you about last night. Remember, I hate Monday Night Football. Okay? Mm-hmm. I know that you like to, like, set your lineup for Monday Night Dramatics.
Yes.
I totally feel the opposite. Remember I told you I needed one catch from Cameron Brate this year?
Yes.
One catch for 3 yards, I would have won my game.
Right.
Last night, I'll make a long story short.
Appreciate it.
I needed one catch for 4 yards from Dante Moncrief at the end. I missed my playoffs by 1 point.
Well, I mean, that's hard. You got a touchdown from Dante Moncrief, too, though.
He dropped the ball, too, on one play that was thrown right to him on a third down.
Yes, and late in the game, I'm playing against Matt Forte. I'm ahead of Matt Forte by a point, 41-3. I'm like, why do the Jets still have Forte in
the
game?
Right.
And Bryce Petty throws an out pattern to 5 yards. I go down for one. I'm like, wow, Moncrief's still in the game, right? And Scott Tolteen throws him a pass. It bounces in the air. And he's not able to catch it, and Vrevis gets flagged for pass interference, and I miss the playoffs by one friggin' point. I do not like Monday Night Dramatics like you do.
That's awful. It's crazy because in my league, this didn't affect me at all, but in my league, you had a team make the playoffs by winning last night by 0.48 points. The team he was playing had Brandon Marshall and Matt Forte. Fourth and whatever, Bryce Petty throws it up to Marshall, doesn't connect, and he makes the playoffs by 0.48 points. He's in there. I have nothing to worry about. I'm in the playoffs in both leagues. It's going to be a tough battle this week. It's going to be a tough battle going forward. But you know what? That's what you're here for, right, Tony?
I'm fired up about it. But last night, you know what happened to me? I came in 10th in the tournament. I won a couple hundred dollars, but I lost a couple hundred dollars on one play. Jack Doyle, I had in the game. He reached for the goal line.
Yep.
The ball came out of his hands a half a yard short, and the ball goes through the end zone. So I lost plays for a fumble there. And then I lost the 6 points there, which would have gave me about $500 more there in one little play at a half a yard in that tournament last night. I'm not bitching and complaining. I can't win a couple hundred bucks. But still, I could have moved up, finished 10th in that one. It was crazy last night because I knew the tight end position the Jets couldn't cover, but I had the wrong tight end.
That's right.
I was thinking of you last night, Tony, every time Dwayne Allen caught a friggin' touchdown. And I thought of you on the Jack Doyle thing, too.
Oh.
You had the wrong tight end. It happens.
Yeah. You know what else happened, too, last night?
I don't.
Just I guess some things are right in the world, though, because in our Pros versus Joes league, our internal one, Mike Blewett eliminated by Mike Cardano by less than 2 points.
So,
well, that if Cardano won though, I would have made the playoffs. And I thought,
right.
I made the play. Yeah, I thought I made the playoffs. And I woke up this morning like, oh, what happened here?
I also decided last night I'm taking a little hiatus from FanDuel NBA because when I score 300 points and don't cash in a cash game, I feel like crap, Tony.
Did you have Klay Thompson?
No, I didn't have Klay Thompson.
No, obviously, he didn't have Klay Thompson. Yeah,
we could have Klay Thompson and everybody else laid it, you know?
Yeah, so I had a 295 in a tournament, and I got beat out after getting double overtime to get that tournament, as I was a Langston Galloway owner last night. So I figured that would be enough, but it wasn't enough there. But I did do okay in my cash game. So you know what? I guess you just got to get the problem.
I scored 300, Tony.
Here's the problem, though.
Yeah.
When you stop for a bit, or you say you play for a week and you don't play for a week, if you're very good at what you do, now you've sort of distorted the odds. Like,
right.
if you just continue to play and you play through it, you go there. But I can see the frustration. And a night off is never, and especially tonight, is a good night off. There's six games in the NBA.
Yeah.
All the totals are low.
Yeah.
It's a 204 is the highest total at 198, so very similar there. So a night off, clear your head. Get right back at it.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to take the night off here. It's just, I was very frustrated. I liked my team. I had Ersan Ilyasova, which I felt really good about. You know, I had some mistakes, but putting up 300 points, that's my goal every night, is to get 300 points.
I accomplished
my goal, and I lost, and that was what the most frustrating part of it was.
Don't confuse the result with the decision. It's hard to say that, though, when no money's coming out of your pocket. Hey, can I say one thing before we go?
Yeah.
Enough of the Jaguars having bad fans and not supporting their team and there, because I got to say this. The Jaguars fans are four times better than the New York Jets fans. The Jets fans last night had tickets going for $5. The stadium was two-thirds full. And I checked this morning on StubHub. You can get a ticket to the Jaguars-Vikings game for $20 there. So they are four times better than the Jets fans.
How about
that? Sparse crowd. Well, we know this, though. We've seen the moderator of Out of Bounds, like, jump teams. Come on. You know, it's like, I didn't realize this. $5, I would have went, and at least I could have screamed at Moncrief, you know, in person. I would have went to the game.
Would you?
I would have for $5, yeah.
So why didn't you?
What?
Why didn't you?
It's just not something I thought. I had no idea tickets were going for that cheap.
You said you listened to Out of Bounds, though, and you heard it.
No, I said the host of Out of Bounds is an example of, you know, how bad the Jets fans are.
Yeah. You know,
$5 last night.
$5 last night, but I feel like you wouldn't be here.
No, I'd be here.
That's crazy.
Probably would have got – the game ended at 11:30. I probably would have been home by 1.
Right.
I would have slept till maybe – like 4:30, and I would have been here.
All right, fair enough.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Look, it's an NFL game. I love the NFL live because as great as a TV sport it is, Greg.
Yes, sir.
I love to see it in person because you can see what's so much more of what's going on strategically.
All righty. You know, let's talk about this Monday Night Football game.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry. Sorry for the pain I'm about to cause everybody. let's talk about this Monday Night Football game. This was never a game at no point of this game was this a game. I mean, it was the end of the first quarter where Sean McDonough was trying to go through his notes to find stuff to talk about because there was nothing to talk about. The Colts up 14-0, and they never stopped. I mean, it was pathetic. It was a pathetic performance by the Jets, and I think the question needs to be asked here at 3-9. Bryce Petty already announced going to be the quarterback the final 4 weeks here of the season. Is Todd Bowles going to be the head coach of the Jets next year?
Yeah, I have to wonder. I think they might give him another year. That's my feeling. But this team is so bad, and it's almost like they just didn't show up. It's like not only was the stadium sparse, which was embarrassing, but the play on the field was real embarrassing. Dwayne Allen was so wide open on two of those touchdown passes. And Tony was right when I heard him do the news desk this morning. They didn't generate any pass rush. They just played completely listless football last night. It's like the only guy seemed to have fire on the Jets was C.J. Spiller.
Sure. Tell me.
This was tough to watch. I think the coach needs to be fired, and this is crazy.
I agree.
Because he won 10 games last year. He won 10 games. And the whole quarterback situation he was not part of during the offseason. But when your team plays in a home game on Monday Night Football, it puts that kind of effort. That alarms me. And if I'm an owner, but this owner, I don't know where his head is. He's trying to get a position in Donald Trump's regime. And like, this whole thing is crazy with the whole Jets theatrics and what's going on here and how this could play out. Bryce Petty last night, 11 for 25. So he was less than 50%. You got to deal with this for the next four games.
Right.
And all of a sudden, we got a guy now that people are going to be targeting on the waiver wire for their playoff matchups and trying to win a championship with Robbie Anderson.
Yeah, let's start there, right? So last night, as you said, Tony, Bryce Petty 11 for 25. Before that, Ryan Fitzpatrick was 5 for 12. If you're the Brandon Marshall owner next week, 4 for 43 last night, you're in the playoffs, you have Brandon Marshall, which is possible. Do you bench him? Tone?
I don't. He was still getting targets in that game. And what shocked me, and I'll give Brandon Marshall a lot of credit, he was still in the field in the fourth quarter. Which I couldn't believe that he was like the only starter that was still out there, and I would love to know.
He had Forte out there too.
Yeah, I don't know what was going on with that in the whole Jets situation there. I would play if I was using Brandon Marshall up to this week. I would continue to use him.
Okay,
he does play San Francisco this week.
That's true,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
You have Forte and Bilal Powell and Quincy and Nunwa and Brandon Marshall all playing San Francisco. I'm in the playoffs here. I'm a Quincy and Nunwa owner. I can't start him with Bryce Petty.
I'd be worried about him.
Yeah.
Yeah, with Petty dragging him down, dragging the offense down, it's probably gonna be a lot of Forte next week.
Yeah,
run defense.
Yeah.
Once the quarterback change came in and Nunwa wasn't out there and he wasn't being targeted. Marshall stayed on the field and Anderson was the guy that was out there. Like,
yeah.
It was very confusing to me. Quincy and Nunwa I would be worried about. Brandon Marshall, I wouldn't.
How many deep shots did he take to Anderson
before he finally connected to him? It's like he missed him on three deep throws before he finally connected.
So that's the problem, right? When you need 4 yards from Dante Monka, you have to watch this 41-10 game in hopes of seeing balls thrown to Dante Monka.
Yeah, right.
I did not watch that.
I hate Monday Night Football now.
I did not see the ball getting to Robbie Anderson here. Finished with 4 for 61 and a touchdown. On the other side,
that was a great pass.
That's nice.
But it was like the carnival, though. He threw four bad ones, and then he nailed one.
Yeah.
He was due, basically, you're saying.
Oh, it was terrible.
No, it's like, just like one out of four ain't bad.
I guess.
Yeah, the two interceptions he'd thrown were like, he just threw the ball to no one. Like, he just threw it up.
That last one, it's like, it's total, like, garbage time mode, and he still threw an interception.
It was crazy.
It's also, Ryan Fitzpatrick's interception was also horrific.
Yeah.
So, the Jets are a team struggling. But as you guys both said, they're facing the San Francisco 49ers here next week. Historically bad defense. And I find the other way also, guys, that I want to start Vance McDonald because you want to start the tight end against the Jets. But I don't know if I can do that if Blaine Gabbert's the quarterback.
If Blaine Gabbert's the quarterback, we saw him go to Jeremy Curley a lot earlier.
Right,
that's
true.
You're right, because McDonald played well when Kaepernick was playing well. So it'll depend on what the quarterback
changes. But you're absolutely right. Do I use Jeremy Curley in the give me a bell revenge game against the Jets? And
true.
The way he had a connection with Blaine Gabbert.
What else does he have to play for, right?
Agree.
Yeah.
But am I really going to start this guy in the playoffs?
Jeremy Curley?
No.
Unless you're desperate and like playing a larger, like a 14-team league.
Exactly.
Yeah, daily, exactly. You know, maybe take a crack on it.
Right. Maybe that's where you can take a stab in the daily game. But that's it. That's it.
Yeah.
So it's a crazy situation next week in that Jets game, which no one's going to be watching or attending.
Yeah. This is why fantasy football is good for the NFL. If you
have
some investment in that, you'll at least be checking in on it.
Right. Hey, let's take a break.
See, this is the part, though, that's bad for fantasy, is that, like I was talking about the news show, is you got to pay attention to what's going on the teams, because like this Petty situation is going to affect the team.
Absolutely.
Blaine Gabbert's going to affect situations where guys you use, like Kyle's Hyde, to me takes a big hit with a change of quarterback here. They don't do anything successfully with Blaine Gabbert at quarterback. Jeremy Curl is the only guy that you could look up to that had any success with him at quarterback.
Yep, no question about it. Let's take a break here. We come back. We're going to look at last night's game from the Colts' perspective and see what we can do with the Colts guys going forward, including if Jack Doyle can now be dropped for Dwayne Allen, what we think of Dante Moncrief going forward, and we give credit to T.Y. Hilton for obviously being very, very healthy. We do that next here on the Roto Experts. We're back here on the Roto Experts of the Morning. Greg Sussman, Scott Angle, Corey Parson, Tony Cicada here with you. Going to look at things from the Colts perspective in just a moment. Good morning, Corey.
What's the deal, Greg? What's the deal, Scotty, Tony? How's everybody doing this morning?
We're doing well. What's going on?
I don't know yet. Had a very interesting night last night, obviously. I go to sleep last night.
Yeah.
Go through this game. Right now, on paper, I am a FFWC dominator.
Okay.
Right? For me to get this to happen, I need the two teams in front of me to lose, myself to win.
Right.
And I had to hold on to a 31-point lead. The lead grew up to over 100 in points. Was never worried about that. So I knew I had the most points. which is $2,500. Now, in order to dominate this league and get the and take all the money out of the league, I need the two teams in front of me to lose. One of the teams last night was out of it. They were definitely losing. The other team had T.Y. Hilton.
Mm-hmm.
The team I was going against had Matt Forte.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't watch the game. I was a wreck. You feel what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, I see Matt Forte's number slowly creeping up, but I feel like I had enough to withhold Matt Forte. He needed 17 to beat me.
Yeah.
I didn't think he was going to get the 17. T.Y. Hilton was going off, though.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, I'm sitting there like, oh, my goodness. T.Y. Hilton's going off. It's getting closer and closer and closer. So, this final drive, I'm saying to myself, as long as T.Y. Hilton does not catch a pass, I will win by point six. 60 yards, basically. Now, the game comes to an end. It goes final. He loses his game. I would tell you fellas the score right now. The guy I'm going against loses his game 131.55 to 131.9. My first thought was, okay, need to worry about a potential stat correction.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yesterday on Fantasy Best Friends Forever, Nando said the last play of the Packers and the Texans, when the Texans were doing that stupid throw the ball back and forth.
Yeah.
Lamar Miller was a player that caught one of those passes. He caught it 4 yards in the wrong direction. So he lost 4 yards. Well, the rule book says, to my knowledge, that on those specific plays, the only loss in yardage hit in that kind of a play goes to the quarterback. Well, Lamar Miller has one reception for negative 4 yards. So there possibly could be a stat correction that would give Lamar Miller an extra 4 yards. But will it take the reception away from him? It's kind of where I'm at now. If Lamar Miller gets those 4 yards, he would win 131.95 to 131.9. But does Lamar Miller lose the reception also?
Was Lamar Miller the first person to call the ball?
Yes.
So he's not going to lose the reception. He caught the ball. That's not going to change.
But he caught the ball. But then why take the points away? Then why give him the 4 yards back then?
He won't. If he was the first guy that caught the ball, that guy counts 100%.
But he caught the ball. It was a backwards lateral.
But how is he the first person that Brock Osweiler threw a pass? You're saying?
Yeah, no. So Forte wasn't the first person. I mean, Lamar Miller wasn't the first person.
Oh, then he won't have. Then how did he? He didn't have a reception. That are you sure that's the correct reception?
You're
talking about.
I think this is the unless he had another catch in this game.
It seems possible.
Right now, Miller has 14 rushes for 22 yards and one reception for -4. That -4. Should become that negative should be taken off. But does that reception get taken off also?
Of course. If he wasn't throwing the pass, if he was just lateral the ball, that's not a reception, obviously.
So why was it not scored like this from the beginning?
That's why I'm wondering if it's coincidental and he might have just had a catch for -4 yards.
Now, also, Tony, are these scores on last night, are these finals in this kind of situation where the league is already updated and says that I'm the overall champion?
Yeah. So basically, we've already had this. Thursday, they become official. So Thursday's one of the day that everything becomes
official.
You're
going to have to wait.
So in our league, the Greenwich Street Tavern League, we had a couple ties. And one of the ties was with Chris Vaccaro and his actually brother-in-law. Chris Vaccaro had won the game. And on Wednesday, they changed the score and it ended up being a tie. And it made a huge difference in that game. Well, Vaccaro would have won the division and would have taken the number one spot in the playoffs. And so basically on Wednesday, that game was changed.
So I don't think what you're saying is right, because the lateral with the Lamar Miller was for -11 yards, not -4.
So the lateral was -11?
Yeah. So I think the -4 yards are just like a different play.
So if he, but does he still get that? Does that catch count towards his?
He was not given a catch for that.
So his catch was another play.
I'm assuming so. I'm looking it up now. I'm telling you, but I can assure you.
How did it affect the yardage to -11?
It didn't. It's obviously not in there.
It's not in there.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm just going off of what I read what Londo said and what I read on Reddit.
Here. Oh, wait. If verse and 10. So, in the, I think it was the first quarter, Lamar Miller, right, and I don't know this. Oh, here it is. Oh, wait a minute. Because there was a, he did have a catch in the game for 7 yards. 7 minus 11 is -4. So there you go. So he did have a catch in the game for 7 yards.
Yes.
That happened.
Yes.
I believe that was his only catch of the game. He got -11 yards on that lateral, which 7 minus 11 obviously is -4.
So those points will be placed back on Lamar Miller.
So I would think it'll go back to zero, right? Yeah. I would think those points are at Lamar Miller, and he'll wind up with 7 yards total of the game.
Which would give him...
He always had the catch, but...
Which would give my opponent the victory, which in return would give him a win.
I think if they put the points back after the lateral. If those yards don't count. I don't know how that works.
I guess we'll find out.
I guess we'll find out.
It'll be a tough 2 days, Corey.
I don't know. Do they change it? You know what I'm saying? Are these scores final?
No, like Tony said, everything's going to be official by Thursday. We don't know that for sure. He gave the example of what happened in the Greenwich Street Tavern League.
Yeah, and that was ESPN. I think that each site will probably handle it differently, right? Do some sites wait until, before the playoffs get to all the stats become official, or they like the Daily Fantasy and they go with the initial stats that come out?
Well, here's the thing, Tony. I remember the gentleman who runs this league was on Outside the Lines last year, and he talked about how the daily sites go final when the game's over and they don't wait for the stat correction. But in season-long leagues, they wait for the stat correction.
Yeah. Yep.
Amazing.
So you'll be waiting till Wednesday night for this one to be a final.
Yeah, I was talking about how I hated Monday night football drama. Now you're talking about, week-long drama here. Wednesday night drama.
I mean,
drama.
If anyone else has any drama in their leagues from week 13, we'd love to hear about it today. These are like the perfect shows when you find out the little idiosyncrasies of each and every league where people get screwed or they have something happen for them to get them in. That would be a great thing. I don't have any things like that, but I think back to some of the fantasy championships that you've had in the past, Scott. You've been around a while. Anything crazy happen like this?
I vaguely remember some Brett Favre-like experience. I don't even remember the story. It's like a lot of these stories start to blur together. And in my personal leagues, it's like you just don't remember it year to year, but they have happened.
Yeah.
The thing, Sussman.
Yes.
When you're the commissioner of the league, you hope these things don't happen.
No, it's just a pain in the ass. It is. It's true. Good luck to you, Corey.
Lamar Miller caught the second lateral and lateraled 15 yards back to Osweiler. The play continued. Miller got around a -11 receiving yards, dropping 1.1 points. Yeah, this is going to be changed.
Maybe.
I wish they'd put the money in my account now. I'd be like, it's over, it's over. I won.
You would have got an email saying, Mr. Parsons?
Yes.
Or you'd been like, I just bought a new Cowboys jersey. Yeah. Too late.
100,000 of them.
Yeah.
Maybe. Maybe.
Why don't you try to work out a deal with the other guy right now and, split the money?
It's going to be interesting to see how it plays out.
All right, so last night, let's go back to this Colts game here, just break away. Also, you want to give us a shout-out of your terrible losses or what you're waiting for and stat correction, that kind of stuff, 844-843-6879, 844-843-6879. Andrew Luck, methodical, surgical, 278-4 last night, super easy for him. T.Y. Hilton went off, 9-for-146. He was very healthy. And then Dwayne Allen, 4-for-72, 3 touchdowns. Tony, you said it earlier. The tight end was going off. He just had the wrong one. Jackie Doyle at 4-for-30. He should have had a touchdown, but kind of just dropped the ball at the goal line and went in the end zone for a touchback. Dante Moncrief continues his touchdown streak. Didn't do much outside the touchdown, just 4-for-26.
Yeah, the biggest thing was Andrew Luck. I don't think he's going to have an easier game this season. He was not touched in the pocket whatsoever. The Indianapolis, of course, has had a tough offensive line. They did have everyone healthy for the first time in a while, and they were able to protect Andrew Luck. The only time he was touched is when he ran the ball a couple of times. He just stood back. They had all day. T.Y. Hilton was running from one side of the field to the other side of the field, and they had plenty of time to make complete all these passing attempts.
Scotty?
Yeah, it's Tony pretty much nailed it. Like, the Jets not only they don't generate a pass rush anyway, but it's like they played listless football last night. The secondary was absolutely awful last night. Well, the third touchdown pass to Dwayne Allen, just a perfect throw. There were just so many gaps in the defense last night. It was so easy for Luck. The amount of time that he got to throw just from early on was incredible. It's like he could go through four or five progressions easily.
Yeah, it's so simple and made so easy against the brutal Jets defense that Andrew Luck, even though their offensive line is terrible, even though he was getting hit, it was no problem. Literally no problem.
They had Ryan Kelly last night. They had Mewhart back last night. But, some of that's on the Jets, too.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Frankie Gore finishes with 20 carries, 79 yards rushing. Does not catch a
pass. I think he moved to eighth
hey.
On the all-time list for running
actually
backs, right?
Fourth, I think.
Fourth, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a big difference between eighth and fourth.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought he took Tony Dorsett down.
He did take Tony Dorsett down.
He's had a hell of a career.
He has. And Tony was talking about it this morning.
Yeah, he's not fourth. He's eighth.
Okay.
Nice job, Tony.
He moved to fourth. He moved to fourth on some other list. I got to find out what it is. But they did show it on a graphic that he moved to fourth on some other list. I'm trying to remember. Maybe it was like best running backs over 30 or something like that. But, Tony brought it up this morning. Are we looking at a Hall of Fame career here for Frank Gore?
Yeah.
I think it's a great question. I think it's a great question. I don't know the answer. I really don't know the answer. Because I'm someone that doesn't really believe that, like, Jerome Bettis should be in the Hall of Fame. Because I felt like he was just like a compiler that wasn't really very good. Like, he averaged less than 4 yards a carry,
right.
Jerome Bettis. So I don't really believe he should be there, personally. Frank Gore also seems kind of like a compiler.
Yeah, no, he definitely is. I go both ways because I'm the type that you got to be at some point a top three player
right.
in position to get in.
Right.
But
yeah.
In the NFL, too, you got to give credit to these guys that play for 10, 12 years, especially the running back position.
It's certainly admirable.
So, what?
Absolutely.
Yeah, so I'm all over the place on this one, and I usually have an opinion that I can stick by. But Frank Gore is going to be one of those guys, I think, that I don't know. I really have no idea what he should be in the Hall of Fame or not. The statistics over a career are there.
They are. They absolutely are. Do you ever look at Frank Gore and be like, forget top three, a top five running back? No. Never. Ever.
No.
Ever.
No.
And, the numbers are going to be there. And I just can't see Frank Gore in the Hall of Fame. I really can't. But, like, all these other guys around him, every one of them are in the Hall of Fame. Emmitt Smith, Walter Payton, Barry Sanders, Curtis Martin, LaDainian Tomlinson will be next year. Then Jerome Bettis, Eric Dickerson, Tony Dorsett, Jim Brown, Marshall Faulk.
Only guy you felt wasn't deserving was Bettis.
Agreed. Absolutely. Yeah. And then you get to Edgerrin James, who I think that's an interesting case. So Edgerrin James right there. I know Corey believes he should be in the Hall of Fame.
I think Edgerrin James should be in the Hall of
we'll
Fame.
We'll see. We'll see if he gets there. I don't know.
But Tony's talking about the criteria. You got to be one of the best, was Edgerrin James or Frank Gore ever considered the best of the best? I heard it with James briefly for a point in his career, but I never heard it with Gore.
Yeah, James was briefly when they were and they won a Super Bowl. So I actually would put him in before Frank Gore, to tell you the truth.
Yeah, I totally understand that. I totally understand that. To me, I don't love Frank Gore. But, hey, you're right. Something has to be said for longevity. In this game where you stay healthy to get those numbers to play this long, something to be said for that, no doubt about it. Anything else on this Monday Night Football game, guys? Because this was just a beatdown. Scotty?
Moncrief scored another touchdown last night. He only had four catches for 26 yards, but if he constantly looks for him in scoring situations, he's becoming touchdown dependent here. But as long as they continue to throw the ball, and now like Tony was talking about this morning, now you got a three-way tie, top of the AFC South. So You know, while this is a horrible, horrible division, though, you know, there's a lot at stake, which is good for your fantasy guys on this team, these three teams.
Corey.
T.Y. Hilton, I think we have to look at him a little bit differently than we look at a lot of other players, because his ability to be available and perform, even when he's hurt.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this guy's been on an injury report for like a month now.
Yeah.
And it's almost like he hasn't lost a step. He leaves games, he comes back, left the game with a back, came back the next week, doesn't practice or has limited practice each and every day of the week. And Sunday/Monday night, he comes out there and performs. So I think T.Y. Hilton, even with Moncrief healthy and back in the lineup moving forward, I think when you go to 2017, I think T.Y. Hilton should be considered a first-round fantasy football wide receiver.
Wow, you weren't a fan of his before the season either.
I was good with him before the season. I wasn't a fan of him a couple years ago.
Right.
I didn't think he was a one.
Yeah.
I thought he was a fantasy one, but not an NFL one. I think he's an NFL one, clearly, yeah. And a fantasy one.
Tony.
I think the biggest thing with the T.Y. Hilton thing is all these shows that we do and all the stuff we put out there is when we get to these injury players and trying to guess the injuries of these guys, sometimes we go too far. And I really think if a guy suits up, you got to put him in your lineup. And I think there are people that were afraid to use Hilton last night, and they had to be sitting there watching that game and throwing up.
Yeah, 100%. 100% agree with you. 100%. All right, let's take a break here. We come back, we're going to revisit the Cam Newton story with the latest rumors surrounding Superman. We'll do that next here at the Roto Experts. We are back here on the Roto Experts in the morning. Greg Sussman, Corey Parsons, Scott Angle, Tony Cicada here with you after a rousing Monday Night Football event. Just kidding. It wasn't. Next week should be better, though.
If you had Andrew Luck.
The Ravens and the Patriots. That'll be fun. Next Monday night.
Yeah.
That'll be a good one. And Sunday night should be good, too, with Dallas and the Giants. Hopefully, the Giants will show up in that one.
I had a team last night, and not that it made a difference, where I had Dwayne Allen on my bench.
So you probably felt bad about that.
Guess who was in my lineup?
Who's in your lineup?
Jared Cook. Bigfoot.
Interesting.
I mean, you wouldn't have started Dwayne Allen over Jared Cook going into the week.
No.
I think there's a reasonable chance that you could have.
You could have.
The tight end matchup in that game was alarming. It was just a lot of people were leaning, and myself included, to Jack Doyle. So the matchup was there for the Colts against the Jets. And you look at the other guy, and he's come through not too often, and then the snowstorm there. I could see people making that move.
Okay.
Yeah. Sorry, Corey.
It's all good.
I just want to make you feel worse, Corey.
No. I would. That team was locked in anyway.
Would you have... Yeah.
This was a different team.
I went back and looked at the Monday-Thursday games last night.
Yep.
in DFS. Allen was owned 8% in last night's tournament, which seems like a lot for Dwayne Allen. But when you look at it with the tight end position, it was Travis Kelce and it was everybody else to me with him and Doyle and Allen there. You look at the situation with the Oakland Raiders. No one's going to put Clive Wolford in there. And the Jets don't employ a tight end on most nights, but last night they did actually target the tight end five times.
Safarian Jenkins, yeah. I thought there was one thing that was interesting in our league, Tony, and this is nothing against you either as a player or a commissioner, and I know what the rules are before the season, and I'm not going to sit here and complain, you know, about it in a way where, like, okay, this shouldn't have happened. It's just something I disagree with and I've spoken about before. Tony wins the division, but he basically won a random generated group. And he ended up with the fifth most points and a first round bye. Now, I don't agree with that. I know what the rules are. It is what it is. I'm not going to go on a bulletin board and yell and scream about it. And you're a good commissioner, and the way you do it is the way you do it. But that's why I personally don't ever use divisions in fantasy football, because I don't think if you weren't the second-best team, you shouldn't get a first-round bye.
Yeah, so I agree with Scott, to tell you the truth. When we put the league together, we were trying to get another – prize point. So we put two divisions there, and we just put out, you know, 500 for the winner of each division. So it was an interesting aspect. But those are the things that if you guys are doing leagues that you should talk about right now while it's fresh in everybody's mind before next season if you're a league that keeps the same guys there. Like if there's changes that need to be played. Because what happens is people bitch and people complain. And then everybody forgets about it when it comes the next season and nothing changes. So now's the time in your leagues to look at what worked, what didn't work, and then go ahead and make those moves for next season and do it now and get the leagues. Because I think a lot of times, Scott, these things get left off the table.
Yeah, people forget about it by the time the next summer comes. It's you know what I did, though, in my personal league? I was telling the story where I missed the playoffs by 1 point. The way I set it up, though, is that the teams that, you know, from 7 to 12, whoever finishes first out of the 7th, like, gets the first pick next year, and then 12th gets, like, the 6th pick. So I got the first-round draft pick next year. I got first overall. I'll have Antonio Brown next year.
Is this the Kiss League?
Yeah.
How'd Cha-Cha do?
He was the third seed, I think.
Oh, you got in the playoffs.
Yeah, it was the first time since 2000. It is 4 seasons that he made it. He didn't make it in the Granite Street Tavern League.
Okay, he didn't make it. I didn't make it in that one either, Scott.
No, so we're all okay there. But you know what? We go back and examine it, and we'll be better for it next year.
There you go. I do want to read you some quotes last night from Todd Bowles before we get into the Cam Newton stuff. He said, "The first time we got it handed it to us tonight, we'll see what kind of player leadership we have going forward. It appears they kicked our ass. They kicked our ass physically." He asked what he said on the sideline while chewing out our defense. Too many cuss words to mention. According to Bowles, all the Jets will do going forward, quote, "will play the guys who want to play." Bowles said Hackenberg being activated for the final 4 games will be in the discussion. Bryce Petty is the starter going forward. Ryan Fitzpatrick, because, you know, Ryan Fitzpatrick is a me guy. Ryan Fitzpatrick said, on getting a look at the future of Bryce Petty, quote, "looking at my situation, I don't really care about the big picture."
I love the honesty.
Yeah.
Why would you, but he said some crazy things like, why would you put this guy as your backup quarterback?
They won't. Like, they'll bench him and put Hackenberg as the backup. He will not.
I'm saying next season when he needs a job.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
He'll find one.
Like, he's a capable. He'll find one because there's just not enough quarterbacks to go around. See, we isolated John Gruden as a guy that loves everybody. I give Gruden a lot of credit. He was saying, "Hey, playing Bryce Petty and Hackenberg at this point is doing nothing good for them. These guys can't play; they're not ready."
Yeah, I was surprised to hear that actually. But you know what, though, everybody tuned out of the game, so he decided to be honest.
He knew nobody was watching.
Yeah,
so no,
nobody heard him
people.
Say it except for me and Tony and some fantasy players.
He basically said, "Man, these two guys can't play. Like, there's no way." He was even pointing out that Bryce Petty, when he was in college, they didn't have a playbook. Like, that's how far behind he is.
You look at these bad games. Gruden's will be honest. If, like, everybody was watching, it was competitive, and, like, this kid keeps throwing incompletions, but he keeps trying. He got intercepted 3 times, but he's coming back and trying to learn.
It's amazing as I kind of just read these quotes, and they're all basically the same, right? It's all Bulls saying we got our ass kicked, we got our ass kicked, so on and so forth. And it's bad. It's embarrassing.
Yeah.
You know what I would have done if I was Todd Bowles?
There's been some low points in team history, but that's one of them.
I would have skipped the press conference, took the fine, and made my captains and my team go to that press conference and try to explain what happens. That's how I would have handled that situation.
I wonder what Revis is going to say now about, you know, not wanting to hang it up.
Well, you know, that was another thing I thought Gruden was good at last night, too. He talked about maybe that Revis isn't done. So when Revis was in his prime, he would bump the guy to the line of scrimmage. Because of the wrist surgery that he had, he's not able. He plays off the guy. And they actually isolated on ESPN because they had nothing else to do. Him playing 10 yards off the wide receiver, you know, to start the play. And so I thought it was a great, great pickup from those guys and nothing that's been talked about, you know, openly.
Mm. Yeah, makes sense to me. It's crazy. This whole Jets situation is crazy. I don't understand why Ryan Fitzpatrick's still employed, honestly. This is crazy.
I think I would cut him.
Because of what he did last season. He had a career season. This guy will end up with a backup job in the NFL, though, because that's what he is, a backup.
Yeah, but the next four weeks he's going to be a detriment to that team. I mean, he's going to keep saying stuff when they get these young quarterbacks out there.
So that's why I can see the cut of him.
Now, O'Connor Orr did clarify, saying 140 characters doesn't really give this proper context. Fitz was saying that he was mad he didn't play well enough.
Well, he's been mad all year then.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
For a lot of his career.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, all right, let's take a break here.
Maybe the Jets were right, and, you know, going back and forth and not wanting to give him the start as well.
Maybe they're right. Well, you know
but
what?
But then they turned out that they couldn't find anybody else. You know, this, like I say all the time, you know, this league of quarterbacks is so watered down. Years ago, you would never find a guy like Ryan Fitzpatrick starting on a team. You used to have Matt Hasselbeck backing up Brett Favre, you know, guys like that. Matt Schaub was a backup for a long time before they gave him an opportunity as a starter. They used to be quality backups and more quality starters in this league.
I don't know if what you're saying is fair, honestly.
I think it's the truth.
Well, you pointed at two examples of Matt Hasselbeck and Matt Schaub. I'm sure there's backups now that could be starters in the NFL.
I think there's much less of them. I think the backup quarterback used to be a lot better than it
so
is
I don't
now.
Agree. I mean, look at
I
Dallas.
Think the starting quarterback certainly used to be better.
I don't agree with you. Look at Dallas. Dak Prescott's backup is Tony Romo.
Now.
Okay, then Tony Romo's backup would have been Dak Prescott. It would have been the same thing.
No, I'm saying years ago, the depth of quarterback was a lot better.
A year ago, the Cowboys couldn't win a game without Tony Romo.
Yeah, for the last few years. So, I'm talking about like in the late 90s, early
2000s. What I'm saying is it is a lot of trash at backup quarterback in the NFL.
But there's always been a lot of trash at quarterback.
No, some of these guys have come in and played well, like Hasselbeck, et cetera.
So look at Dallas with the backup quarterback's Tony Romo.
That's an exception rather than the rule.
So was Matt Hasselbeck. Matt Hasselbeck's equally an exception.
There were guys like Hasselbeck. Yeah. There were guys like Schaub. I look it up. I could probably find more. There were guys like Rodney Peete came in and played really well. Steve Berline came in really well.
So you're telling me these aren't exceptions. What you're getting?
I'm throwing out at least four. You're talking about one.
All right, I'll go through the NFL backup quarterbacks.
No, you're not
going to
do all of that.
No, I'm going to do that. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll find some answers. We'll be right back. We're back here on the Roto Experts in the Morning. And, Scott, I looked up today's backup quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. I was hoping you would look up 1999. So 1999.
it's going to take a lot of research here, though.
Hold on. Before you guys go into this, I can tell you why Scott's fundamentally right.
Okay.
What happened was college football used to be the training ground for the National Football League, but it is not anymore. They only care about doing well for their franchises. So the advent of the spread offense came into college football. And now we see quarterbacks, the first pick in the draft was unprepared to play because he's never played in a professional style offense at the University of California. We also see a quarterback starting for the New York Jets for the remainder of the four games that is not ready to play in the National Football League because they didn't play a pro-style offense. So I think the advent, we saw Tim Tebow, a guy who won a Heisman Trophy when he came into the NFL and not be able to incorporate that into the game. So I think that college football has changed why the quarterback position is not as good as it once was.
And that's a fair point, Tony. My point just being is that the backup quarterbacks in the NFL in 1999, where Scotty said he's Matt Hasselbeck, I'm using Matt Hasselbeck as an example, was Brett Favre's backup, as you mentioned.
Yeah.
So 1999 was that year. So I just picked that year, and I'd like to go over the backup quarterbacks from that year. It's going to take a while, obviously. All I'm saying is...
To find them, yeah.
All I'm saying, my point is, Matt Hasselbeck wound up being a long-term starter in the NFL with Seattle, of course, and had a very long career.
And also, just to further illustrate my point, when he was a has-been...
Right.
Done.
Right.
He ended up starting for the Colts when Luck went down.
Okay. But
I think to illustrate my point, the reason why I started this is Ryan Fitzpatrick would not be a regular starter 10, 15 years ago.
Okay. So I don't agree with that either at all.
Ryan Fitzpatrick.
He was a backup.
So you just pointed out Matt Hasselbeck later in his career was a backup for Andrew Luck at the Colts and started games. So does Brian Hoyer. Guys like that was the same as Matt Hasselbeck. Matt Hasselbeck wasn't any better in the later years of his career than Brian Hoyer is now.
But Matt Hasselbeck came in for Luck. He was 40 years old and totally finished. He had a noodle arm.
But you just brought that up, not me.
Example of how you know, the quarterback position's more watered down than it ever has been. We have more bad quarterbacks starting now.
So now you're saying Matt Hasselbeck was bad in the later years of his career.
What I'm saying is he shouldn't have been even rosterable the last few years.
Okay, so then we need to go back to the 1999 quarterbacks. Then, if you didn't think people like Matt Hasselbeck were in the league forever, because they were, right? They just were. Today, looking at teams right now, I mentioned the Tony Romo example, obviously.
Yeah, which I think is an exception.
Fine. Yeah. You want to say that. I look at New England. Who says Jimmy Garoppolo won't go on to another team and have a long career like Matt Hasselbeck did?
It could be Matt Castle.
Matt Castle had a long career.
We saw Matt Castle's been awful.
He was a starter in this league.
That illustrates my point.
Is Matt Castle any worse than Matt Schaub?
Yes.
Is he?
Yes, a lot worse. Yeah, he made a Pro Bowl.
Didn't Matt Castle make a Pro Bowl also?
No. This point's been made about the Patriots before, and people, critics of the Patriots, say that you can plug anybody into that team and it could win games. The fact that Castle won 11 games for them and then went on to play really badly in other places.
Including Dallas. Yeah,
including Dallas. He's bad.
I just don't know, like, Jimmy Garoppolo could be good. You have no idea.
How can you make the argument if you say he's no idea?
I'm making the argument.
We know about Matt Castle.
My argument with Jimmy Garoppolo is that he, just like Matt Hasselbeck, was a backup quarterback for a team. If Jimmy Garoppolo goes to another team, which he will at some point,
we don't know that, though.
Of course you don't know that, but you didn't know that about Matt Hasselbeck in 1999 either.
We've already seen Matt Hasselbeck go from backup to very successful NFL starter.
Correct.
And we saw a guy like Matt Castle fail.
That's one example. All I'm saying is in 1999, you had no idea that Matt Hasselbeck would be the quarterback that he was for Seattle. You did not know that, correct? You couldn't have known that.
There were a lot of teams going after Matt Hasselbeck. You heard a lot more stories.
You don't think
You heard a lot more stories about how teams were interested in a guy like Hasselbeck because they felt he could be a quality NFL starter. I don't hear a lot of buzz saying, we want to go after Garoppolo and make him a starter.
I don't agree with that either. I think you are hearing stories about that. I think people would like Jimmy Garoppolo as
a
starter.
Matt Hasselbeck and Matt Schaub, there were a lot of teams after them.
I think there'll be more people after Mike Glennon this offseason.
Mike Glennon was another example I had on my list. Maybe Mike Glennon will be Matt Hasselbeck. I don't know.
He could.
You know? So what I'm saying is, there are backup quarterbacks like Glennon, like Garoppolo, that could become starters in this league, that could become Matt Hasselbeck, for instance. I don't know that. We can't know that yet, obviously. But the point is, you can pick and choose examples here. You pick and choose examples in 1999, or when Matt Schaub was Michael Vick's backup back then. Some backups were good. Some backups aren't. There's not just all of a sudden all the backups suck now and then it sucked 10 years ago.
I'm saying that it's worse than it was 10 years
ago. I don't think that's
true. You got a guy like Kurt Warner come off the bench and become a friggin' Hall of Famer.
That's not cherry picking, Scott. Come on. Zach Prescott came off the bench and he has the best record in the league. There's another example like Tom Brady. It's the same thing.
Guy like Ryan Fitzpatrick would never start.
That's not true.
Years ago,
that is not true.
Unless you had an injury. He's a journeyman quarterback.
There were no journeyman quarterbacks 10 years ago. Jeff Garcia started for how many teams?
Jeff Garcia was much more successful than Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Was he?
Yes, he had a good stretch in his career, and then he fizzled out.
We've seen Ryan Fitzpatrick do it twice, though.
Do what?
Have a successful stretch. Last year and with Buffalo.
Fantasy-wise. He totally fizzled. We're talking NFL quarterback. Let me tell you something.
Year.
When Ryan Fitzpatrick is a journeyman who's good enough to lose with, when the Jets needed to win to make the playoffs, he had a horrible performance.
That's one game of that season.
That's exemplary of Fitzpatrick. Fitzpatrick's never done anything of note in his career.
Ryan Fitzpatrick has more touchdowns thrown than Jeff George, by the way. Your boy Jeff George, Ryan Fitzpatrick's
my boy Jeff George.
You just brought him up. Yeah, I brought him up, and you're like, yeah, he had good years. He was good.
I said Jeff Garcia, not Jeff George.
Well, I brought up both of them.
I said Garcia.
You want Joe Garcia? Hang on.
Yeah.
I'll give that one. No problem.
Ryan Fitzpatrick, has he ever won a playoff game or anything like that?
Probably not. Probably
yeah.
not.
A playoff game? Hold on. We're going from a serviceable quarterback.
He's a ham and egg. He's a ham and egg.
Ryan Fitzpatrick has more touchdowns thrown than Jeff Garcia. He also he has.
Yeah, but Jeff Garcia won a lot more quality games.
They're equally back.
You guys are moving the goalposts.
Jeff Garcia Thank was you. Jeff Garcia was a quality starter for a while. I can't remember when Ryan Fitzpatrick was a quality
last
NFL
year.
Starter.
Last year.
How was he a quality NFL starter in the final game of the season?
Wait a minute.
When the Jets needed him to deliver as a quality quarterback, he was reason why they lost.
He had a bad game. So he won 10 games last year. He wasn't a quality starter.
He made the playoffs.
Wait a minute. Eli Manning had an awful game last week. Yesterday against Pittsburgh. Is he a quality starter in the NFL?
Guys won 2 Super Bowls. There's no comparison.
You just told me because of one bad game, Ryan Fitzpatrick is not a quality starter.
That was his only
he
opportunity.
He had 20 less yards than Jeff Garcia in his career.
That made him a good fantasy quarterback.
We continue this conversation on the other side because this is ridiculous.
Yeah, because you disagree with him.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Roto Experts in the Morning is on now.
We're back here on the Roto Experts in the Morning. Scott Angle, Corey Parsons, Tony Sicana, Greg Sussman. Getting all the headlines and waiver wire news coming your way this afternoon. You can hear it all day. You also chat with the King, Scott Angle. I got it. That's why I was giving you that. I got it. Tonight, 7 o'clock tonight, you can chat with the King, Scott Angle, for free at RotoExperts.com. This weekend, you can also chat with the Fantasy Executive for free over at RotoExperts. Don't have to pay a dime. You can chat with the King. His Royal Highness will chat with you at 7 o'clock tonight. So, before we get into the headlines.
His Royal Highness?
That's his name.
Oh. His Royal Anus.
I didn't say that. You said that.
I know.
Before we get into the headlines here.
Child.
And the waiver wires.
Oh, boy.
Scotty, you said to me just a moment ago.
Yeah.
That in 1999, you wouldn't have a quarterback like Ryan Fitzpatrick, wouldn't be able to start in this league, right? That was what you said?
Right.
And not, as I'm just saying. As a starting quarterback, because he's not a backup, as a starting quarterback, he couldn't start in this league, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because I don't want to put words in your mouth. I just want to make it clear. Mm-hmm. And I'm saying there's always quarterbacks like a Ryan Fitzpatrick that were out there, okay?
Yeah.
The starting quarterback in 1999, for instance, for the New Orleans Saints, we'll say, their quarterback was Billy Joe Tolliver. Do you think Ryan Fitzpatrick is better or equal or worse or better?
He's better than Billy Joe Tolliver.
So there you go. There's an example for you.
But I don't think he's a quality NFL starter.
But I'm not. That wasn't the debate. The debate was that in 1999, the quarterbacks were all better. I'm saying it's the same thing. Nothing really changes, and that you were picking and choosing backup quarterbacks.
I was picking and choosing backup quarterbacks as good examples, I believe.
And you were picking good backups. There's no question about that.
Right.
But I'm picking the same type of backups this year. Because I'm saying the backup quarterbacks this year, you can find the same backup quarterbacks in 1999. Some were good, some were awful. That was all.
I've seen a lot of NFL personnel people saying that quarterback is more watered down than it's ever. It's really more difficult to find a quality NFL starter than ever before. The fact that Ryan Fitzpatrick was able to command starters' money on the open market and actually have that dance with the Jets
says
a lot about the quarterback position today. Ryan Fitzpatrick's career record, 45 wins, 69 losses and a
sure.
tie.
Yep.
He's not a quality
a
NFL quarterback.
Yeah, tie in there too.
Yeah.
But some player people that you have said, like Jeff Garcia, was a quality NFL quarterback.
Jeff Garcia had a run where he was a good NFL starter.
But Ryan Fitzpatrick has better numbers than him.
Ryan Fitzpatrick is not.
But Ryan Fitzpatrick's numbers are better.
He's 45-69-1.
You can keep it, but how much is that, and how much is the
horrible teams
he's been on?
He's had 164 touchdowns and 130 interceptions. He's a ham and egger.
He's been on horrible teams.
He's been part of why the team
yes,
has not won.
Yes, absolutely. But
and
you
it was
can't
an example
Jeff
with the
Garcia
Jets
has been
last
better
year
when they have the
when
same
they
numbers
him to win and push him into the playoffs.
So
he had an awful
you're
performance.
You're cherry picking one game.
That's a big, big game.
So you don't think
that was the biggest game of Ryan Fitzpatrick's career, and he took a dump.
You don't think quarterbacks have bad games?
The guy has finally got himself into a position in where he's put himself in a position for a big game,
right.
And he showed he couldn't handle it.
So you look at a guy like Tony Romo, who's had a fantastic career, and check out all his awful games.
Tony Romo, to me, sorry, Corey, was overrated. Okay, he had some good moments.
Right.
He had some bad moments. It depends on who you talk to. If you spoke to a Giant fan, they would say Tony Romo was the biggest choker in the NFL.
Right.
If you spoke to a Dallas fan, they would say he was a great quarterback. If he would have stayed healthy, he would have been a superstar. I thought he was neither.
Without staying healthy.
I thought he was not a superstar. I thought he was neither. I thought he was very overrated
right.
by some
right.
and underrated by others. I felt like he was a good quarterback, but not great quarterback.
Well, he still is a quarterback. And number two, I am a Giants fan. Do I think Tony Romo?
No, I'm not talking about you necessarily. Okay. I'm saying people who hate the Cowboys
right.
would always throw those arguments. You do a Google search and you see things like Tony Romo's the biggest choker of all time in the NFL.
Right.
It's not true. He did have moments where he did not respond well to the pressure. There are other good moments in his career. I'm not saying Romo was either. Romo was not a superstar.
He was
okay?
He's a superstar.
He's not a superstar. You're biased. Romo right. was not a superstar. I have nothing against the Cowboys
I'm saying,
here. He's not a superstar.
I want you to make the
You're a Tony Romo fan.
I want you to make the argument for Tony Romo not being a superstar.
The superstar wasn't even the argument, though. The argument was just a quality quarterback.
Yeah, I know.
He's a good quarterback, but he wasn't elite. He never was.
Is that the superstar elite argument is an argument for another day.
Right.
I'm just talking about quality.
Well, you asked me what I thought just in terms of quality quarterback.
Correct, and because
right.
you were upset, I brought up Tony Romo because you said Ryan Fitzpatrick's game last year, week 17 against the Jets
right.
is the reason against the Bills rather is or the Dolphins whoever it was is the reason he's not a good quarterback.
I think it's a good example of why
and
he's a ham and egg.
And my response to that was simply it was a bad game for him, and he is just as good as some of these other schmucks.
But you know,
who
but
you claim
said,
is good.
You said bad game. The guy's never had a moment in his career
where
you can point to. You try to prove me wrong. Give me one. Ryan Fitzpatrick
yep.
in an important moment
right.
delivered for a quality ball club or helped to become a quality ball club. You can't find it. The guy is 45-69.
So why do you ignore the 10 games you won last year?
Because they didn't make the playoffs.
So
you keep asking me the same question,
and you keep giving me the
same
response.
You the same answer.
Right. So we disagree
because
yeah,
10 games they didn't make the playoffs.
Right. So we just disagree totally.
Yeah,
right?
We disagree.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah,
we agree to disagree then.
Yeah.
All right, let's get into the headlines here from this week.
Thank
and
you.
I want to start with Cam Newton. I've been waiting for this.
Yes, I want to talk about Cam.
You want to talk about Cam
and backup quarterbacks.
Don't forget that
he has a pretty decent backup, right? Derek Anderson?
He's not good enough for Scott.
Huh?
He's not good enough for Scott.
Derek Anderson can play.
Well, I know that.
He can?
Yeah.
Yes, he can.
Like, he threw an interception on Sunday night, so he sucks now.
All right.
And he's never done anything. So,
besides taking a team to the playoffs,
so Sussman thinks
Derek
he's quality.
Anderson took a team to the playoffs.
Cleveland Browns.
Derek Anderson took a team to the playoffs.
He went to the Pro Bowl.
Probably better than Ryan Fitzpatrick.
And went to the Pro Bowl.
He went to the Pro Bowl.
So he's better than Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Fine, he's better than Ryan Fitzpatrick, which is again not the argument. The argument was about backup quarterbacks in the NFL. This, which is Derek Anderson, is a quality backup quarterback.
I didn't say there's not a single quality backup quarterback. I said they're hard to find.
I'm saying
they're
there's just as many now as there were in 1999.
I disagree with you. I don't think you'll
give
find
me the evidence.
I don't think you'll find a Matt Hasselbeck or a Matt Schaub.
Can we talk about Cam
NFL
Newton
bench.
So y'all can stop last word
I also,
each other?
One second. I also do want to bring up.
He's listener, like, 1 second.
A listener texted me, what has Ryan Fitzpatrick ever done? Week 16 last year against the Patriots in overtime. Ryan Fitzpatrick game-winning touchdown to send them even into Week 17.
And what happened in Week 17?
So you only get to rent one game again. You just only bring up one game.
You can't discount
Scott,
it, though.
You flipped the shark on this. We went from a guy that not capable quarterbacks to a playoff win. I mean, pretty soon you're going to have Fran Tarkenton as being a marginal quarterback.
Yeah, but Fran Tarkenton went to a Super Bowl. That's totally way off base.
Four all times. I'm talking about is quality backups.
Four times. Ryan Fitzpatrick never even got his team to the playoffs when he had an opportunity. It's like you're discounting.
I thought he did, but
you're discounting the impact of what he did last year. Just
no,
they
you're discounting
games.
It.
I'm not discounting it at all. It
of course you are. You don't care that he won 10 games.
It showed that he's a ham and egger.
You don't care.
They needed him in a big moment. He took a big dump, and you're ignoring it. So we disagree.
I'm just taking. I'm not discounting his entire season for one game. He did not make the playoffs with the Texans, by the way, in 2014. They were 9-7, but he did not make the playoffs.
That's who he is. He's like he's good enough to lose with.
He is just as good of a backup quarterback, or just as good as a quarterback. There's plenty of guys like that in 1999. plenty of guys like that. And yeah. You said there weren't. You said Ryan Fitzpatrick would never have a job in 1999. That was your quote.
I think that he wouldn't be a starting quarterback. That's
Billy,
what I said.
Billy Joe, what was it? Billy Joe Tolliver was a starting quarterback.
Yeah.
So I think Ryan Fitzpatrick would have a job.
6 months ago, I'd have gotten so much trouble for this.
Not anymore.
You haven't even given your opinion anymore. On it, though.
Because I'm waiting to talk about Cam Newton.
Cam Newton was benched for the first series. But the first series, from what we allegedly heard, he didn't wear a tie.
Can we stop for a second?
Uh-oh.
Yeah, sure.
For 1 second.
Yeah, why not?
I don't want to lose the point. Is Matt Stafford a quality quarterback?
Oh, yeah.
Does he want a playoff game? Does he want a playoff game?
Nobody's been to the playoffs.
No. Huh.
Oh, God. He bought a ticket to a playoff game one time.
They lost to Dallas in the playoffs last year.
Tony Romo won that game, who you said was not a superstar.
He's not a superstar. You're biased, though.
Go ahead.
Has Matt Ryan won a playoff game?
Yes, Matt Ryan has. Matt Ryan beat Seattle, right?
Yeah, he did.
How about Carson Palmer? Is he a quality quarterback?
Yeah. Guys went to the NFC Championship. Never won a playoff game.
Yeah, well, he did last year.
He did last year.
He did Green Bay last year in the playoffs.
You're thinking of Andy Dalton.
Andy Dalton's
a quality quarterback.
Yeah, that was the one guy that absolutely fell apart. What's your thoughts on Andy Dalton? Is he a quality quarterback?
I would say he's a good quarterback. I don't know. I go back and forth on Dalton. He's on the line between good and mediocre.
Oh, was he good enough to start 1999, you think?
Yeah. Probably would have got the Jets to the playoffs last year.
Maybe.
Yeah.
That's not an argument.
Please, let's go, Cam.
You want to move on to Cam Newton now?
Please. I can't take no more.
Oh, yeah. The Carson Palmer, this article is from 2012, so that's why Carson Palmer was not correct in that one.
Okay.
Christian Ponder's never won a playoff game, Scott.
Christian Ponder couldn't even win tennis. Did he ever win an NFL game? Yeah.
All right. Cam Newton did not play the first series because of allegedly violating the team dress code, right? The whole didn't wear a tie. And it all seemed kind of ridiculous. We sat here yesterday morning saying this sounds ridiculous, and if it smells as ridiculous as it is, there's no way it's true. Now, of course, rumor leaks out to TMZ and a Barstool, actually, that Cam Newton wasn't benched because he didn't wear a tie. He was benched because they're out on the West Coast all week because they had two games out there. They stayed on the West Coast, and
he was nowhere to be found.
Was a little bit late for curfew, as were a couple of his teammates. Cam Newton took to the strip club with him.
Yeah.
He took to the strip club after curfew during the week, practice week on the West Coast. Ron Rivera wasn't happy with that, said, you know what, that's not okay. Sit on the bench, fool.
I wonder if he was.
Right to you, Corey?
That could sound about right. That sounds about right. Cam Newton is a notorious DM slider.
Mm. Okay.
So Cam Newton likes to go after. You know, he likes to do his thing. He likes to be a healthy young man. You know what I'm saying?
His
movie star look. Yeah. His dad's a 35-year-old preacher.
35.
Movie star looks. You know what I'm saying? NFL quarterback, plenty of money. Cam Newton is out there, so I can definitely see that. Because I know where he probably went. So let me see if I can see any pictures online. He probably went to Ace of Diamonds in Los Angeles.
So the problem is he's a quarterback, right? So if the tackle does this, the guard does this, we don't read about it. He's a starting quarterback in the NFL. I don't think it's a big deal, and they probably overreacted to the situation.
Yeah.
But I guess, to Ron Rivera's credit, that if some offensive lineman went to the strip club in the middle of the week, he probably would be benched. So he benched the starting quarterback for doing the same thing.
I don't think so. I think actually they made a – that's what I wonder, right? Because there were other people with him based on that story. What happened to them?
Oh, that makes sense.
That's a good point.
That makes sense. Now that's really the signaling Cam out.
That's a good point. Now we don't know who the other ones are. Maybe they were benched. And we didn't realize it. You know, like maybe I don't know. Maybe it's true.
Maybe they're not starters.
Right. That's a good point. Also, Like, they could be random, you know, just bench guys, and we have no idea. It could be Joe Webb, for instance, who doesn't really play. I mean, you know, Cam and Joe Webb are boys. So, Scotty, what do you think of this story?
I think if it happened to anybody, that, you know, he should be disciplined. But, you know, it's there was a lot of talk that, like, Cam Newton was playing like he just didn't care anymore the other night. And maybe that's part and parcel about what goes into this, is that, you know, this isn't a franchise quarterback, and Rivera's going to be there for a while. He's like, you know, my quarterback's, you know, he's going to gentlemen's clubs and when he shouldn't, and, you know, he's on the field like he doesn't care.
When is a good time to and not to go to the gentleman, Scott? What do you mean when he shouldn't?
Like, I think it's always a good time, but I'm not an NFL team.
What? You go in the damn daytime, and you talking about Cam not going at a good time.
Well, you know, the thing is, he didn't obey curfew, and then he went out and played like he didn't care. He's trying to get his franchise player on mental track here because – look, Cam's had maturity issues.
But here's the problem, right? Let's really, and you want to go back to 1999, Scott. Bill Parcells, would he, Lawrence Taylor isn't in his hotel room or misses curfew, is he going to bench him?
No. But Lawrence Taylor's going to come to play every Sunday.
Jerry Jones has always said, Jimmy Johnson has always said he treated his star players
right
different than he treated his other players.
He's always said that.
He's always said that. He was like, listen, he told Troy, he told Michael, listen, you know, y'all, please don't get, I mean, you're going to make me look bad. But he's going to treat them, but by the same token, when things go wrong, you know, they
but
take
those
the heat.
Guys came to play every Sunday.
Cam, they were better. They were a better breed, you know what I'm saying?
They were different
than
Cam. They
didn't go drink until 5 o'clock in the morning and still perform.
There was a lot of talk about how the other night, like, he was just, like, he was throwing passes like he didn't care. He was playing passes like he didn't care. And, you know, everybody talks about how Cam sulks when it's not going well. He gets on the sideline, puts the towel over his head. You know, you don't see that with guys like, you know, you're
Ryan
talking about like Michael Irvin, you know, guys like that, you know, because they come to play every Sunday. Do what you want, because I know, Lawrence Taylor, do what you want, because I know
right
Sunday, 1 o'clock, your focus is going to be on the game and, you know, you're going to be very intense, you know.
I don't like. I think I don't know if I like the way you said. I think that's preferential treatment. I don't know. I don't know how I feel about this. I think you're singling Cam out, Scott. I feel like you're singling Cam out
because we're talking about Cam.
I think you have something against Cam Newton.
I don't have anything against Cam Newton. I think he's immature as a person. I'd love to watch him as a ball player. Okay, I don't have anything against Cam Newton. It is what it is. I think you like Cam Newton a lot, so you're going to bristle at anything that probably maybe been negative about him.
No, I'm just saying, you're talking about him like you're saying he's immature and
he's
this and
immature.
He's
immature. The way he handles himself, he's immature.
You never said Marshawn Lynch was immature.
I never endorsed Marshawn Lynch. This is not a Seahawk Panther thing. Don't try to make this into it because this is not what I'm talking about. Okay?
Right. But no, that's nothing a legitimate to do with point, it. Though. But that's a legitimate point because Marshawn Lynch did exactly the same.
And
thing.
I also
Newton
said that I didn't
conference.
Endorse Marshawn Lynch doing that.
He did
so
say that.
Let's not even bring this up.
That's, he did say that.
Corey, that's totally irrelevant.
Okay, I'm just throwing it out there.
No, Scotty always said this about Marshawn Lynch.
You're a Cam Newton fan, so you bristle at criticism of him.
I think in this situation right here, I don't see, I can't really, and I'm looking at some pictures, I don't really think this is wrong. You know what I'm saying? They might have got back a little bit late. Why cut off your nose and spike your face?
If that happens to Carson Wentz, you wouldn't be complaining about it. You're a Cam Newton fan. I know that.
No, if it happens to Carson Wentz, I would be like, Carson Wentz is a rookie. No, he needs to be in his playbook.
I'm saying, you know, if it happened to a quarterback on another team that maybe you're not necessarily a fan of, if this happened to Derek Carr, you probably wouldn't be having that same angle.
Derek Carr is winning right now.
Here's what
I
know.
You would hear the story if the Panthers are winning.
Yeah, here's the story. Here's what I know. There's 30 NFL teams. Cam Newton's not the only guy that missed curfew this week.
Yep.
And he's the only one that missed a game, and he's the only one that spent it. I guarantee that he's not the only person in the whole league that missed curfew this week.
Yeah, I would say you're right. But the question is, Tony, we don't know how many times this has happened, right? Like, this may have been
a recurring
thing.
Yeah, this may have been a recurring thing.
Other issues.
Yeah.
other issues there too. So that's it. Scott, I have a partial list of the 1999 quarterbacks in it. And here, you ready?
Yes. Okay.
Steve Walsh, Indianapolis Colts.
He was decent.
Back to Peyton Manning.
He was decent.
Rob Johnson, Buffalo Bills. Damon Hewitt was the backup for the Dolphins.
I don't even know who the hell that
Ray
is.
Ray Lucas for the New York Jets.
Ray Lucas was all right, Scotty.
John Freeze for the New England Patriots. Jay Fielder.
Oh,
for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yeah. He's Jewish. Yeah.
Neil O'Donnell for the Titans. Tony Banks, also a backup quarterback. Mike Tomczyk for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Oh, Mike Tomczyk.
Scott Covington for the Bengals. And Ty Detmer for the Cleveland Browns.
All right. Are those any better or worse than this year?
Yeah, I lost that one.
All right. Yeah. I appreciate that, Scott. Yeah. It means a lot. All right. Let's come back. We'll talk more headlines here.
But Fitzpatrick still is a ham and egg.
Fine. Yeah, and I'll agree to that. On the other side, we continue with the headlines from yesterday. Stick around. We'll be right back. Back on the Roto Experts in the morning here. Greg Sussman, Scott Angle, Corey Varson, Tony Sicato. Continuing our headlines from yesterday. Jerry Maclin practiced yesterday for the Kansas City Chiefs. Limited fashion, just as he did all of last week. And Tony, I think you were right. I think you were the one that said it yesterday. They're going to hold him out for this divisional game, and they have. It looks like he'll be back on Thursday night.
Yeah, that's going to really impact Tyreek Hill, I think, for fantasy owners that were using him the last couple of weeks. I think with Maclin coming back and not enough throws, even when Alex Smith put together a good game last week, we're still seeing him in the low 20s for throws. So this could be having some fantasy impact for people playing week 14.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. Can you start Jerry Maclin?
I don't know if I can. I think do you it can. The first game back.
So it's playoffs, obviously. It's week 14. You cannot handle a dud. You say you can, Tony. You say you cannot, Scotty.
I just don't like what I saw with Maclin earlier this season. I think it all depends on who you have, but I can't have a lot of confidence in it. Maclin was disappointing early this year.
The thing is, though, if you were using him before he got hurt, you got Oakland secondary, which is one of the worst in the league. So if you're not going to use him this week, I don't know when you would use him. I think he was ready to go on Sunday, so I don't think it's a health issue. They just held him back because they wanted to save him for the divisional game. And if anything, Monday night was an example of worrying too much about a practice, a guy being injured and T.Y. Hilton running all over the field. Now, he's not the same player as T.Y. Hilton because the offense is the same. But if you were using him before, I think you go back to use him again.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like you make a good point. I wasn't using him before, so I'm probably not going to use him again.
Corey, if you're a Jerry Maclin owner, you just saw what T.Y. Hilton did on Monday night. Different offense, obviously, with the Colts and Andrew Luck, but they're facing an Oakland secondary that is burnable, that's going to let up some points. Can you start Jerry Maclin in the playoffs?
I don't think I can. He wasn't looking good going down the stretch.
I take out that the last game where he got hurt, those first six games, he only topped 70 yards once, and he only had two touchdowns.
I don't disagree.
Forget about the yards.
The catches were like four, five.
Yeah, he's only caught more. He's only caught six balls once.
Yeah, it's you know what though, for the Chiefs, this is good for them though because it makes their passing game diverse. Like how many years did we see that Maclin didn't have a quality, another quality guy there, wide receiver? Of course, they always had Kelce, but now they have Hill, Kelce, and Maclin.
You know, I actually lean toward your side here, Scotty, where I probably wouldn't start him because I wasn't starting him beforehand, right? Because we were all talking about you got to bench Maclin. There's just no upside out right now. Yeah. I know the matchup's really good, but given the injury and given what we saw before the injury, I don't trust him.
No, I don't think I can. I don't think I can do it. And like Tony says, if were you using him before? No, I wasn't. It's like after week two, it's like he wasn't cracking my lineup.
So we talked about. Yes.
I would love to interview Andy Reid, and I would just ask this question prior to this game. I would ask, you have an Oakland secondary, which is one of the seven worst in the National Football League. You've had Tyreek Hill come out of nowhere. You bring back Jeremy Maclin. You have Travis Kelce. How can you not throw the ball 35 times in this game, Mr. Andy Reid?
That's not how we, Mrs. Sincotta, that's not how we play. We like to run the football. And we like to make sure that Alex Smith controls the clock. We don't want him to make no mistakes. Turnovers is a very important game for us, so we'll continue with our game plan.
Yeah, 30, but maybe we'll throw up 35 times, like, 25 screens.
Good for Spencer Ware owners.
Yeah.
What is that? He doesn't catch any passes, though.
He did so earlier in the year.
You look at his game log, though. It's like he was constantly like 2 and 3 catches. He throws a lot of those screens to the wide receivers.
Kansas City is a 3.5-point favorite at home Thursday night against the Raiders. Interesting.
It's going to be a good game.
You know what? Primetime games this week. KC, Oakland, Giants, and Dallas, and then New England, Baltimore.
All go three of them good.
Three good primetime games this week.
Oh, man, which probably means
a Sunday slate. Oh, yeah, you got Seattle and Green Bay at 4:25. That's a good one.
Sunday night, though, I got the midseason finale of The Walking Dead, an hour and a half, and the Giants in Dallas.
Yeah. Wow.
Midseason finale?
Yeah.
They have mid-seasons?
Yeah, that's what they do now, Midseason finale where, like, they get you to cliffhanger and then they don't bring the show back until February.
Okay.
Yeah.
I
guess it won't be Super Bowl Sunday when it would come on.
All these teams, all these shows now do all these winter finales.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a thing.
Yeah, it is.
Capri Bibbs is out for the year, placed in IR with what we thought was a high ankle sprain, but obviously the Broncos don't think he's coming back anytime soon. So Gary Kubiak brings in old friend Justin Forsett.
This guy right here. Justin Forsett's one of the nicest people in the NFL. I'm just like...
You're laughing at him.
But I'm just saying, you're laughing at the nicest
guy in the NFL. What does that mean?
How many cities is he going to live in this damn season? You know what I'm saying?
You know what's happening
is,
he's such a nice guy and he knows the game so well, they're taking him around the league and, like, interviewing him for assistant coaching.
Now, listen, you're talking about journeyman. That's a journeyman right here.
Yeah, absolutely.
Justin Forsett's a journeyman.
Sure. Yes.
Now, he is the backup to Devontae Booker right now. They clearly don't trust Jawan Thompson. Justin Forsett knows Gary Kubiak's offense. Devontae Booker hasn't looked good. In fact,
Justin Forsett should know every offense in the NFL.
Who's Denver playing this week?
I don't know. Denver.
That's a good question.
They're playing the Tennessee Titans in Tennessee.
Okay, he doesn't know anything about the Titans, so they're not bringing him in for one game.
No, it's just Gary Kubiak. He's the backup. They brought him in because they don't have a backup running back that they trust.
Yeah,
that's
they need
why.
The depth, yeah.
Listen,
you're taking out Justin Forsett.
Dollar make you hollow on Justin Forsett for the third time this year. I just spent $3 on Justin Forsett.
I think you got
three fantasy points.
I think you do.
But yeah, he's the backup to a player that's not really playing that well.
Correct. According to Mike Hills, who's a beat reporter for the Broncos, he said that Capri Bibbs was close to getting that job.
Capri Bibbs has looked better this year than Justin Forsett has when Forsett got to play.
I don't know.
I don't think opportunity always leads to production.
It's a dollar to make you holler, Scotty. You can't take the money in the strip club.
Can't take it with you,
Scott. I'll throw a dollar at it, you know, just
there
in case
it is.
I'm wrong.
There
but
it is.
I have, you know, maybe like 4% confidence that it'll come through.
Where do you think, how many dollars you think Cam Newton threw? Probably
not
fat. A lot of them.
Probably
right?
Pretty hefty, huh?
Not.
Yeah. That would have been really cool to see him like throwing one to like Ted Ginn, like the other end of the strip club, like a real deep dollar throw, you know?
And Ted Ginn would drop it. Yeah, he would drop it.
Charles
Kelvin Benjamin sitting on the side saying, "You poured in two last days, and you didn't buy me any."
For Tampa Bay, Charles Sims
flaccid.
Is coming back this week.
Kelvin Benjamin to be flaccid.
Off IR. Our injury to return designation. Doug Martin is banged up. His back bent back, and he says he's fine, but he did miss the final quarter last week or last three drives. Sims is coming back.
Yep.
Do we like Charles Sims, or given the relationship between Jaquizz Rodgers and Dirk Cooter, do we think Jaquizz Rodgers is a pass Charles Sims?
I think Charles Sims is a better player than Rodgers, so I think the job goes back to Charles Sims. That was the name I was going to bring up. If you're still running waivers this week, that would be one of the top guys I would look for. I like the way that Buccaneer team is playing right now. And if Martin's banged up, listen, we've heard about Sims before being the lead guy. Hasn't really worked out. We know his pass catching ability. I think if you're going into a week 14, I think Sims is a player to pick up. And I'm going to watch the status of Martin this week. You could possibly
watch that
start
one close.
You could possibly start Charles Sims this week.
Really? If Doug Martin doesn't play, you'll start Charles Sims. And the matchup's very good.
I think you have to. I think that's very feasible.
I think the situation's hard to read. You could be looking at a timeshare or a committee because I think all these running backs have different talents. I think Martin and Rodgers are the best pure runners out of the guys. They're better pure runners than Sims. Sims is the best pass catcher, I think, of the guys. Rodgers may be the most fundamentally strong. I think if Martin doesn't play, it'll be a timeshare between Rodgers and Sims.
I think
they would give Rodgers the carries and have Sims in the passing game.
I kind of agree.
Because
you
need that, too. Because all you have is Evans and Brait.
Right.
You need Sims in the passing game.
Right.
And that's where the value can come. Look, I see where Corey's going. This could be a Theo Riddick kind of thing for Charles Sims.
Tony, what are you thinking here?
I think that if all three are healthy, it actually hurts all three. They all become fantasy questionable in my mind. I don't think any of those guys I would feel comfortable rostering. Now, if Doug Martin was out, I think Jaquizz Rodgers is going to get an opportunity to continue to play. Sims will play as well. But I think that at the end of the day, the snap count will show Jaquizz Rodgers. The coaching staff has leaned to Charles Sims before he got hurt, was on the way out in that offense.
Yeah, they like Dirk Koetter absolutely has an affinity for Jaquizz Rodgers. So I think we have to – I totally agree, Corey. We got to pay attention to Doug Martin's status this week and see what's going on there. Let's take a break. When we come back, I want to look at what's going on with Philadelphia, their injury updates with both Jordan and Ryan Matthews. And I also think, along with Doug Martin paying attention to him, we have to pay attention to Julio Jones, too, because this is going to be very, very frustrating this week and perhaps throughout the playoffs. We do that next here on the Roto Experts. Hanging out here on a Tuesday morning at the Roto Experts. And interesting in Philadelphia, Jordan Matthews going to practice here on Wednesday. That's good. Get Jordan Matthews back. Put him in your lineup, I'd say. Ryan Matthews, Corey, who I dropped last week, also could be returning to practice on Wednesday. If Ryan Matthews plays, do you start him?
I probably might be like the only Ryan Matthews fan left.
Right. Well, I like Ryan Matthews. I just don't own him anymore.
I think it's the match. I think it's the matchup. I think it's you got to look at the matchup.
Plays the Washington football team.
I think you got to play him.
Got to play him.
You got to play him.
Interesting.
You saw what David Johnson just did to them, right?
Uh huh. But Ryan Matthews is not David Johnson. But
They've been giving it up.
They also don't run the ball, as you know.
They've been giving it up like that all year, though. This would be a good week for it.
The Redskins are the fourth worst in the league against running backs. They allowed 89 yards to David Johnson on the ground, a touchdown, 30 fantasy points. Dallas, Ezekiel Elliott, those are two tough matchups they've had in a row. 24 fantasy points, 109 yards rushing. Green Bay, against their running back mess, they let up a bunch of pass catches, so they had 12 fantasy points in that one. Minnesota, no passing game. Running game, they allowed 36 yards, a touchdown, 9 fantasy points. Before that, the Bengals, 128 yards. So they've had a bad run, the Redskins defense. The problem is there's so many backs there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You have no idea what it's going to be. Tony, would you start him if he plays this week?
Based on what I just read, I'd be enticed to. Like,
yeah, right.
If I didn't, depending on your options, of course, if I didn't have a solid, like I had a, say, like in my situation, I have Jeremy Hill, Jonathan Stewart, Tim Hightower, he would definitely come into play. I would definitely be considering it. It would go right up to Sunday. I'd probably change it 32 times.
Mm-hmm. Scotty?
Matthews versus who?
At all. If Ryan Matthews played, would you start him?
I would consider him as a flex, yeah. You know, for the touchdown potential.
Do people play running backs at flex anymore?
Yeah, absolutely.
I think that's a good way to go in a standard league.
Okay.
In a PPO, I'm trying to get a wide receiver in that spot.
So I look at my team, right? Because, you know, it's all about me. I'm a me guy.
Who else would it be about?
Right, of course. So I got, right now, my flexes for this week. I have two flexes we play. Well, two wide receivers, two flexes. I'm going Kenny Britt against Atlanta. And Dontrell Inman against Carolina. Mm-hmm. Do I start both those guys over Ryan Matthews?
What's the Matthews matchup?
PPR against? League, right?
Washington.
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 I would go Matthews over Britt, I think.
Matthews over Britt.
Yeah.
Corey?
That's a tough call. Britt quarterback is whack. Oh, I think I got to go with Ryan Matthews.
Okay. Tony, you agree too?
No, I go with two wideouts. You know what's crazy? I really think the flex position in leagues, when I look at teams in the running back position, I have a hard time believing that if someone has a third running back with upside compared to a fourth wide receiver, and I think we're losing the evolution of the running back becoming in the flex. I think it's going to be wide receivers more and more as the offenses continue to throw the ball around the National Football League.
Hey, can we talk about my team?
Yeah, sure.
Come with me, guy, too.
Hey, you know we can do that.
Would y'all start Tyler Eifert versus Cleveland or Rashad Matthews, who I love, versus Denver?
I have Tyler Eifert. It's Cleveland.
Cleveland's been, like, the worst.
The worst team in the AFC against the tight end all year.
Yeah, I don't like that.
He says it's touched that like last three games. Eifert,
yeah, I think if you don't start him, you're overthinking it.
Actually, second worst now. The Panthers are the worst.
You said AFC.
I said the AFC.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, look at Scotty. Yeah, look at that.
What are you breaking it down by conference now, Scotty?
I've been doing that in my writing a lot, too, you know?
He's
evolved now.
he likes doing that.
Working with you guys, man.
Oh, man. Thanks, man.
I got to be on point, you know, when I work with a group like this.
I agree.
You have to.
You have no choice.
You don't have a choice, you know? Yeah it's true.
Okay, so there's the Ryan Matthews. Yes.
Garrett Blunt versus Baltimore this week.
Not a good spot.
No, I might have to sit him and put Hightower in there.
So I also have a Garrett Blunt in the league. Should I start Bob Kelly over him?
Who's Kelly?
Fat Rob.
Who's Kelly playing? He's playing
the Eagles.
Come on, Scott.
Come on,
we just
Scott.
Went over this 30 seconds ago. Washington plays Philadelphia this week, Scott.
Yeah.
If you would stop looking at these young gals walking past.
I have a tornado alert in my area.
Oh no!
What are you guys doing as a tornado? Do you really get under your desk?
I think if
they
you hear that alarm, you're supposed to go into like a bunker or something.
Yeah.
You haven't dealt with that before, Tony?
Oh yeah, I lived in Kansas City. We had tornadoes all the time, but I never like hit or anything. I just let Jesus take over.
Jesus take the wheel.
So look at this. This matchup's not good, man.
That Blunt versus the Ravens? No, that's pretty. That's not good at all.
That's bad.
I'm going with Tim Hightower. I'm not even fooling with LeGarrette Blunt this week.
But so I. Oh boy, this is tough. Hey, Cole Beasley or Dontrell Inman? Just talking about my
team.
We got to talk about the listeners.
I feel like I can't bench Blunt no matter what the matchup is personally.
Tony?
I would bench Blunt if I looked at some of those matchups, but I wouldn't do it for Rob Kelly.
Okay.
Would you do it for Tim Hightower?
No. Let's talk about the listeners' teams. Come on, fellas.
He put up 1 point. He put up 1 point in a great matchup against the Detroit Lions.
Another great matchup this week versus Tampa Bay.
Tampa Bay's front wall's looking good, though.
It's true, too.
I got issues.
Yeah.
All right.
We got time to worry about this.
We do. Another issue potentially could be Julio Jones, because Julio Jones is battling a turf toe injury, and that's what cost him a lot of the second half on Sunday. It most likely will not result in him missing a game.
They're saying they're not expecting him to miss any time.
That's why I just said it. Most likely will result in him not missing a game.
You said most likely.
Right, and you said they're not expecting, so that's pretty similar.
Yeah.
But my issue here is I almost wish he did. Because
you wouldn't have to worry about
him battling a turf toe, we watched him miss a lot of that second half on the sideline, only coming back in when Mohamed Sanu got banged up, and he basically was a decoy there. If you have a banged up Julio Jones with a turf toe that's going to be in and out of the game, that's brutal.
What's your option, Greg?
I don't have Julio Jones anywhere.
Oh. I thought you were yourself.
No. It's not all about me.
Yeah, it's not all about you.
Julio has played through injuries all year long, though.
We know how painful turf toe could be. We've seen it with some guys that just are not themselves, you know?
Yeah.
And I watched Julio Jones on the bench in the second half last week. That scares the crap out of me. And there's nothing I could do, right? You know, there's simply nothing you could do. He plays the Rams this week.
Yeah.
Like, it's Julio Jones.
He's playing random. He play at 425. Oh, no, but he'll be active. He'll definitely be active.
Yeah, he'll be active. That's not the problem.
We've already established that he's most likely going to play.
Sorry, Scott. Yeah. He'll be limited in practice.
Right.
Well, we've already established that already,
that's
too.
Not the question if he's going to play, because you know he's going to play. It's just how effective he's going
to be. No, it's just, are you this brave enough to sit him? That's what the question is.
Correct.
Are you brave enough to sit him in week 14?
Wait,
you got to be a new
ask
fool.
Ask Dr. A about him tomorrow.
We'll ask Dr. A about him tomorrow. I think it's a great point.
Yeah.
Tony, how you feel about Dr. A?
Tony, can you, do you, knowing the turf toe, knowing what Julio Jones did on Sunday, great first half, hurts his toe with turf toe, and it put him out for a little while, could you have any inkling to not play Julio Jones on Sunday?
No, zero. Not the only difference is, right, so I just don't pay up for him when I can in daily, and I spend my money on Antonio Brown instead.
Yeah, it's kind of like, why are we going
season
through
long,
this?
It's not even
we
an
just
issue
saw what
me.
T.Y. Hilton did last night, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So
Julio's dealt with injuries throughout his career. He's dealt with them this year. You know, maybe you're not going to get the 150-yard game, but, you know, they don't throw them enough in the end zone. We already had that debate, but still, it's Julio Jones. You know,
that's
a fantasy. It's a fantasy playoff game. You know, it's I got to start him. You know, what's my other option? Am I going to say, am I going to bench off? What's your other options, Gregor?
Right.
Really shape this? Like, I'm not going to bench Julio Jones with a turf toe injury for Quincy Enunwa.
Enunwa.
Enunwa. Hakeem.
Greg.
Yes, sir.
This is the part where you talk. You're our leader, Greg.
You guys were just doing your
for
thing.
For a minute, I didn't hear Tony. I thought the tornado had blew him away. I was like, where's Tony? And
it's probably a very tense conversation. You making ad drops over there or something?
I'm trying to figure out how much to bid on Ryan Matthews and Ladarius.
Yeah, you're making moves.
Greg's setting his lineup.
Tony, that's what Greg does. Greg's like multitask every morning, like, you know, he'll be doing like his DFS lineup.
I do my basketball lineup. Yeah. I told you, taking a break though. Taking a break. Things aren't going well.
I think I'm gonna ramp up my NBA soon.
You're gonna come. So I'm gonna go out, and you're gonna come in.
Yeah. Right. Well, it's that time of year where I can start paying more attention to basketball.
When we come back, we'll wrap up with the headlines, and then we'll head to the waiver wire, and these guys will be able to answer my question of how much I need to spend. We'll do it next on the Roto Experts. This is the Roto Experts of the Morning here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Yeah.
844-843-6879. 844-843-6879. You know, Scott, whenever he does this move, he always does the fist pump. It's almost like a Tiger Woods fist pump with the mouth wide open.
It's kind of like a heavy metal fist pump. Like, we were playing this music, kind of rocked.
Right.
Even though it was generic. You know, you just got to play the guitar. You got to make the angry metal face and give it a little bit of the fist pump. You know, the producer Danny Elkers knows what I'm talking about.
Danny, do you, in fact, know what he's talking about?
I mean, my genre isn't metal.
Right.
So we don't have the angry fist pump thing. We just jump around a
little.
Right. Yeah, they're more progressive rock.
Sure.
No, we're more pop punk.
They're pop punk, you idiots.
Progressive is completely different.
Do you have to call me an idiot?
I was being sarcastic, Scott. Yeah. I wasn't actually being serious.
It wasn't very nice. I thought you were a nicer guy.
I wasn't actually being
serious.
Last
week he asked me if Streisand am I
gay. That was 2 weeks ago. You keep bringing this up.
Now he's calling me an idiot.
You keep bringing this up. God. It's unbelievable.
Just because I go off on your guy Ryan Fitzpatrick,
you get
all personal.
You could be a gay idiot.
Could be.
That's good. According to Greg, I am. I thought we were friends.
Yeah, so that fist pump. Oh.
Crazy.
Yeah. Is that what you think of when you see it?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, like that, right?
Yeah.
You ever been to a metal show?
Yeah.
No.
Nothing.
Scott, I got a quick question, Scott.
Yeah.
Just a hypothetical, Scott. If you were gay, would you have adult relations with the lights on or off?
Oh.
I don't know if it matters, really. You know, because once
why does it matter? Why does it matter what your sexual preference is for that question, Tony?
Oh, it doesn't. I was just clarifying if it would be different.
Well, what's behind you asking that, though? I guess he wants to know because now I'm curious.
Oh, because you guys were talking about you being gay 2 weeks ago.
I think it was like a month.
Like, if you had a quick answer to that, Scott, I would have gave actually more credence to Greg's assessment.
That was not my assessment. He's changing my words. Let the bars be accurate, but that's fine. Some final news and notes here before we get into the waiver wire, guys. Trevor Siemian probably will be back here on Sunday in Tennessee, which is big for the Broncos, big for Demaryius Thomas, Emmanuel Sanders.
Was there any doubt he would be back? Like, if he had one leg after that Paxton Lynch performance, I thought he was coming back.
No, you're absolutely right.
I don't see how we can – so we have to – like, Rashad Matthews on my bench, I don't like that.
I don't like Marcus Mariota on my bench either. What am I going to do?
Yeah. What does that have to do with Denver?
That's what it has to do with. It
has to do with Denver. They're playing Denver, Scott.
No, you were saying about, Rashad Matthews.
He's got the schedule up on his computer.
I have it now.
It's Tuesday. It's all good.
Yeah. It's all good, Tuesday. It's Tuesday.
I'm thinking more waivers than I am a matchup.
I got
matchups.
You. I understand.
We're in the playoffs now, Scott.
Corey,
the decisions become more dire.
I know this.
What's up, Tone?
I know this, but I don't change the way I operate.
What's up, Tone?
Now, you look at it. The Broncos are number one in the league against wide receivers, right? The number one team in the league. And Rashad Matthews, a lot of his scoring has been
touchdowns.
Depending on touchdowns. So I think it's actually, as hard as it seems, it's not really that hard.
Yeah. I'm like, when I have, like, well, hopefully I hope to not be playing, you know, depending on how this score with Lamar Miller goes. But I'm kind of like, maybe I'm too emotional or sentimental. I'm kind of like, yo, listen, you helped me get here. Why do I put you on my bench now? Like, you were a part of this run. Now I have to put you on the bench?
Well, for two things. Number one. Tony just said, if it's as hard as it seems, it's not that hard. I hope he doesn't say that off the air. number two, what's your other choice?
I mean, well, Tyler Eifert.
You got to
use Eifert.
Yeah, I know, but still.
You
I
know the
like,
answer.
You're overthinking things.
Yeah, but
things.
No, but,
Corey,
no, but I don't want Rashad Matthews to feel left out.
So he's still on your team. Is he a team player or is he a me guy?
I would say he's a team player.
So there you go.
So far.
There you go. Okay.
I have to call him in my office today.
Mohamed Sanu has a groin injury. So we talked about Julio Jones being banged up. Mohamed Sanu also now banged up with a groin injury. I only bring him up because he's someone against the Rams you might have considered playing, and I don't know if you can do that with Mohamed Sanu banged up with a groin injury.
See, here's the thing. When Corey goes with Rashard Matthews and saying, I don't know if I can bench him, because you're thinking about where you got to this point with a guy, it's like, Muhammad's new healthy. I don't even know if I can use
it. And that's fine. Yeah. But I only brought it out given the matchup, and some people do have Muhammad Sanu, and they might have thrown him out there.
I think it's tough. I think it's a tough call
fantasy
to start.
Fantasy playoff week, it's just Sanu's not a name, and I'll tell
but you. But you say that. But,
if Julio is not 100%.
Right.
You see what I mean?
Taylor Gabriel, my friend.
Yeah, Taylor Gabriel. Yeah.
Is Cole Beasley a name we can talk about this week? Is that like
I
think so.
Yeah.
I think so.
Cole Beasley's a play this week.
All right.
Situation a little bit tougher for Dak. You know what I'm saying? On the
Agreed.
Road, NFC East game, you got that security blanket in Cole Beasley.
I also really like Jason Witten a lot this week, given what Darius Green did against the Giants,
and
given what Jason Witten historically does against the
and
Giants.
Jason Witten has historically been very good.
Yeah, I like Jason. And he also didn't have a catch last week for the first time in like 10 years.
I know.
So I think Jason Witten's in a really good spot this week.
What about the Cincinnati wide receivers this week going against Cleveland?
Yeah, I think Brandon LaFell is absolutely someone you can consider.
Tyler Boyd, too.
We're going to get to both those guys in the waiver wire in just a second. And one last piece of news here that I wanted to get your opinion on, Corey. Leonard Fournette officially declared for the NFL draft. And Leonard Fournette has been the talk of not college football because he has battled through some injuries this year, but he has been someone that has been prognosticated to go in the top five since his freshman season here at LSU.
I've heard about Leonard Fournette since before I've heard about Ezekiel Elliott.
Right.
He has the skill set to be a dominant NFL running back. Now,
battle some injuries, though.
Now, yes, injuries is going to be a thing with him. Of course, it's going to be interesting to see where he lands at.
Yep.
But if he lands in the right situation, I like young running backs. I'll be in on him. You know what I'm saying? I'll be in on him because this guy can play.
The fact is, the situation doesn't get any better than it did for Ezekiel Elliott in Dallas. With the offensive line, with the type of offense they like to run, that was the perfect situation.
Yeah, there were a lot of rookie running backs who haven't hit over the last few
years. So this is what I'm about to get to here with Leonard Fournette.
It's a spot for him at the top of the draft.
Where?
The Cleveland Browns.
Cleveland Browns could be a spot, sure.
And that's that, a good that's, and that's a good situation.
It is?
Yes, it is.
How? He's never gonna go there.
You need just a quarterback.
They need a quarterback.
Yeah, and I don't know how it's a good situation for him either.
They got a good offensive line.
No, they don't. They got Joe Thomas. The rest of the line isn't that good.
They got a serviceable offensive line.
No,
they got a run. Currently, they have a run-friendly head coach who should get another opportunity to coach his team next year. I don't know. That's all I'm saying.
Depending on who the quarterback is, though, you know, the offensive line isn't that good, and they can stack fronts against
him. Chip Kelly put him in there. Chip Kelly give him 30 carries.
Carlos Hyde's there. He's not getting rid of Carlos.
Yeah, that's true, too. That's right. I forgot about that stiff. Well, go ahead. What was you about to say, Tony?
The whole thing I think they got so much to work on there. It wouldn't surprise me if they go offensive lineman to defensive lineman. And the receiving, that's going to be the key for Leonard Fournette, what he does as far as showing teams how he can catch the ball in the backfield.
Pass protect.
He only had 19 catches as a sophomore in LSU. That was his number one season. Last year he had, this year he had 15 catches. So that's the one thing that everything changes in the NFL is catching the ball out of the backfield.
Well, could you see the Jets maybe going for him? I know they have Forte, but they could shove a guy like that.
I think the Jets
way.
Have other holes also along the offensive line desperately that they need, along the defensive line as well. I don't know where he ends up. Like, does Carolina draft him for replace Jonathan Stewart? Maybe. I don't know. Green Bay would be a really nice spot for him.
Green Bay doesn't use the running game enough. They would.
But if they had Leonard Fournette, maybe.
You got a player like this.
Yeah, Leonard Fournette, maybe.
What about
you
Jacksonville?
They need a lot more than a running back. Yeah, you think running backs their problem?
I don't think they do.
Really?
They drafted three defensive players with the first five picks in the last two.
So maybe they should draft an offensive lineman now.
Well, they did, and then he didn't turn out.
He was very bad.
Was the
Luke
guy Jokel. Was the first round pick in the draft. Yeah, so they've done that. It wouldn't shock me with the running game that Fournette would get picked by the Jaguars.
All right, there you go. Let's talk more about Leonard Fournette, of course. Coming up draft season next spring. Tons more about him, where to pick him, where he ends up, and whatnot. All right, we'll take the break here. When we come back, it's a Waiver Wire Tuesday. We'll take a look at who you should be grabbing off the waiver wire. Stick around. The Roto Experts rolls on after this.